proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast. In this session, we conclude our examination of the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob. The author of Genesis chapter 41 remarked how Joseph had attained his 30th year of life when Pharaoh appointed him as the second in command over the land of Egypt. Joseph would live another 80 years before he died at the age of 110. The age of 30 served as a notable milestone for a number of Bible characters. For instance, Levites who served in the tabernacle began their service at age 30, according to the fourth chapter of Numbers. David began his reign over the nation of Israel in the same year he turned 30 years. Jesus Christ began his public ministry at age 30 as well. Even after the famine in Egypt had abated, Joseph retained a prominent position in his adopted country. Years later, the reigning Pharaoh would grant Joseph permission to journey to Canaan and bury Joseph's father, Jacob, there. Those Canaanites who witnessed the funeral procession observed, quote, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians," unquote. This particular statement indicated the esteem and the extent of the esteem to which the Egyptians held Joseph and Joseph's family. Nonetheless, Joseph did not regard Egypt as his final, ultimate home. Before he died, he called his brothers together and told them, quote, "God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob," unquote. Joseph made them take an oath that when that happened, their descendants would remove his coffin from Egypt and bring it into the land of Canaan for burial. The writer of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter of his epistle, pointed to that act as a demonstration of Joseph's faith. He wrote that, quote, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones," unquote. Joshua chapter 24 recorded how a later generation of Jews would comply with Joseph's final request. Quote, "The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph," unquote. This arrangement would continue even during the millennium. According to Ezekiel chapter 47, the tribe of Joseph would receive two portions of land given to them at that time. Not one portion, but two. In the fifth chapter of 1 Chronicles, the author of that book noted that Joseph received the family birthright. However, according to Psalm 78, we read that God, quote, "refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved." Joseph's preeminence among the families of Israel did not thereby seem to extend to Joseph's descendants. As a man professing godliness, Joseph stood head and shoulders above his siblings, indeed head and shoulders amongst his peers in Egypt. The life he lived testified of him as being, quote, "a man in whom the Spirit of God is," unquote. The pagan Egyptians came to realize this. Joseph's family came to realize this in due time. Joseph truly manifested all of the traits that a godly servant would expect it to maintain. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.